I'm Chris from All Things Good and Nerdy, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Make sure you check out all the other great podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Super Action Smash! Super Action Smash! Super Action Smash! Super Action Smash! Super Action Smash!
Superheroes kicking ass!
Super Action Smash!
Coming to you guys live from Time Warp Comics and Games in beautiful downtown Cedar Grove, New Jersey.
Wow.
What's up? My name is Steve Strangio, that guy.
Jason Brown.
And this is
Super Action Smash!
Super Action Smash. Now I did it.
Super Action Smash. I can't close this one.
Yeah, you should.
It's a claw.
We're going to tell you about that in just a second.
Tiger claw.
So this is the...
My Wu-Tang style.
Wu-Tang. This is the... The YouTube version, but it's also on streaming on Roku and Apple TV and Chromecast and web and mobile and all the various channels that we're on. This is the video version, but what I want to tell you, something really, really cool, is that we are now officially and proudly part of the GunnaGeek.com podcast network.
I pronounce it
GunnaGeek. GunnaGeek. GunnaGeek.com. You can listen to the audio version. Now, if you're listening to the audio version of the podcast right now, we also have a video version of this as well. Go to youtube.com/Steve Strangio, or just go to stevestrangioproductions.com, and we'll give you all the links to everything that's out there. We have Austin off to the side. He's going to be doing the Facebook Live stuff. You know, facebook.com/happysaturdays to see the alternate take version of this. And that's basically it, but we'll have more to talk about.
It's like from a different dimension where we're slightly to the side the whole time.
Essentially, we're trying to get every possible stream we possibly can ever.
Everything.
Ever.
I'm going to do, we'll do like a live like bottom of the water cam.
Could do that.
That'd be a good one.
We could just, we could have the security cam footage. Do that like somewhere up in the
floor. Floor camera.
Floor cameras, like an upskirt. Do that. I'm wearing a skirt today.
I'm wearing shorts.
You can see that.
Ladies.
Also, what I'm wearing, ladies. What I'm wearing also, this is a comic book character that I created, Sam Demon Hunter. We have Imp, who is a demon that represents everything that's bad in the world, but he's also kind of a party monster.
It's a heavy burden.
And we have Hope, who is his guardian angel, former ex-girlfriend who killed herself.
Oh.
So it's a fun romp. Wow. And then Sam, a regular guy who was working in a regular job until he was blasted from a white light and becomes an avenging demon hunter.
Oh.
So
happens all the time.
I didn't draw this, but I created the characters and I have a graphic novel. So if you're an artist and you want to prove yourself to the world, message me. And
you're
can draw
not
this.
Worthy if you want to be.
If you want to be, come to me and I will show you the way.
Wow.
So yeah, we got five stories. So we're going back to that format, sir.
Oh, yeah?
For a while, I told him that we were going to do, like, individual stories and
it's always lying to
and
me.
Then break it up. But now I realized, and since I have carpal tunnel syndrome now and I can't edit that much, I'm just going to pound it all out in one episode.
Yeah.
And then we'll put it up there for you guys to watch. And now with, you know, unlimited streaming and stuff like that, if you want to watch us on your, on your phone.
Unlimited
streaming. You could just sit there and watch the entire show. Or you could stop and then come back to it if you want. Whatever the hell you want to do.
All the world streaming is at your bow.
Yes, quite. Yes, quite.
In your hand, the work of streaming.
Look at your teeth.
In your hand. Good acting is all about never connecting your top lip to your bottom lip.
It's all in the face. Enunciate every word correctly. That's how you do it, pal.
All about how you move your lips when you talk. This looks natural on camera.
If I took mushrooms, yeah, sure, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So anyway, how the hell are you? How's your finger? He had a running gag with his finger. He broke his finger.
It's a running gag. I always
he gagged his fingers.
Stupid.
It's getting better, isn't it?
Dumb.
I know you can't see this on the audio podcast. That's why you have to watch the video part.
Oh, we'll do an in-depth description. My bones are just hanging out.
It's disgusting.
There's no finger.
It's disgusting.
There's no skin. Nothing. If you're looking at the film version of it,
It's not like that. No, it's not like that. Because they can see it. They would know if you know, right away you could do it.
But for the audio listeners, I want to paint them a vivid description.
I want to
make sure I set them right.
You were vivid, my friend. Well, I'm sorry. I hope your finger gets better.
No, I don't.
Why not?
I want a robot hand.
Oh, yeah. Tony Stark is supposed to build him a robot hand. We're not really sure if that's actually going to happen, but that'd be
Somebody
awesome.
Somebody keeps telling me he's not real. And I'm like, no, he's real. I saw him. He's in a movie.
He is.
It's a documentary.
He's in like 12 movies. Tony Stark.
It's a documentary.
Documentary.
So it's real.
Robert Downey Jr. doesn't really exist. Tony Stark exists.
As Robert Downey
Jr. And he's playing Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
That's really how it works out.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure that's it.
Yeah.
Speaking of superheroes.
We have stories here.
Superheroes.
Our deal is with our show. If you are new to our show, if you're listening to us on the Gun and Geek Network, if you're new to our show, we go through 5 stories.
Yeah.
And we go off on tangents, as they say.
It just happens.
You know, because
you gotta roll with it.
We just like, you know, sometimes, you know, we just talk each other, but we enjoy that. You know, previous co-hosts I've had got angry at me for talking over them, but I told them the first beginning, I was like, dude, interrupt me. I don't care.
Shut up. like that. Just try and keep it very vulgar.
No, well, actually, that's one thing we don't do. We don't curse a lot on this show. I don't think we ever curse. I think I cursed once.
Yeah. But.
You said but. You said but.
Sometimes I'm just a little too much for myself.
But we, you know, we'll read the story, read a few things from the story, and then we kind of go off on our tangents. Do we come up with these stories? No. I find them like you guys do. I find them like an hour before the show on the internet, and it's all the current events that are happening at the moment in time. And it's all the stuff that you guys are talking about anyway, you know. So I figured, and are we experts? No. Well, we're not experts.
I'm certified, but I'm not an expert.
He's certified.
Yeah.
He's bona fide.
Bona fide.
You know, we just kind of like sit around and talk about it like you were hanging out with your best friends and just talking about cool stuff.
We are their best friends.
We are your best friends.
Yeah. Accepting applications.
Our only friends. So our first story, as I put my glasses on, Justice League, ladies and gentlemen. The Justice League.
Oh, big deal. Huh?
At least 2 more months of reshoots are underway.
We talked about this previously.
Yeah, because of the tragedy of Zack Snyder, and our hearts go out to him. You know, Joss Whedon has stepped in to, you know, do some more reshoots. And they always say, it ain't a big deal.
Yeah, sometimes it's minor. Sometimes it's like, oh, we missed a special effects shot here. Let's just go back, pencil it in real quick.
Yeah.
Or we dropped a line here. The audio wasn't good. Let's reshoot that.
Well, according to this, there's a site called Batman on Film. At first they said the reshoots were minor.
Yeah. Nope. We talked about that.
Well, it says these reshoots are actually significant and will take place throughout June, July, and possibly August. And according to the same website, the entire cast is back in London. So it's like they're kind of like doing a reboot of their own movie before they even got released. It says here, the website remains optimistic, however, since a first cut of the film was already screened and it was liked by audiences.
Maybe they're going to add more Wonder Woman.
Maybe.
Because it did so well opening weekend.
As of this filming, I have not seen Wonder Woman. He is going to see it today.
I've seen it.
Austin
has seen it.
And what do you think, Austin? He likes it. He's
he likes
line.
It. I trust Austin's opinion.
Always trust Austin. So I'm probably going to see it sometime next week, but I have a pug, and it's hard to go to the movies these days.
Yeah. Just bring him to the movie.
Are there dog movies going
to be? No, like, you just sneak it in, and you're like tub of popcorn.
That's true. Things have happened. I've been to like R-rated movies at midnight, and people bring their baby. Their baby.
That's fine. Babies aren't going to remember all the murder and sex and violence.
This is why the world is the way it is today, because of that. So what do you think of Justice League? Are you interested in what's actually going to happen? Are you excited that Joss Whedon, I mean, how horrible it is for Zack Snyder, like I said, but, you know, Joss Whedon is jumping universe high and coming
nothing
over.
Nothing is safe anymore. It's fine.
No jobs are safe.
No
nothing,
jobs are safe.
Nothing is safe.
You know, I'm excited for it. I'm excited for Justice League.
You sure?
Mostly because
I can tell by your demeanor. Yeah, I'm excited.
Well, I'm tentatively excited.
Yeah, oh, okay, why?
Because I want it to do well.
We all do.
And it's about time there's a Justice League movie. But it's just like, I hope they don't do what they did with, like, Batman vs. Superman, where they're like,
Martha,
oh, no, we have to get it 100% right. And so they go back and do all these, like, reshoots, and they cut the film differently, and they're like, oh, this will make everyone happy. And then people were like, no, it did not.
Yeah, that's true.
And then they just, like, they mess it up from the inside out.
Well, I told you, like, by the fifth viewing, I actually started liking Batman v Superman.
50th viewing. You were like, 50th, I'm into it now.
But the 50th, it's like you, when you watch superhero movies, you know exactly when to stop watching, go away, and then come back to watch the fight, you know, again. You know,
just for the fight scene.
All I really care about is the fight scenes.
All you want is explosions.
I want big explosions. When it comes to superhero movies, yes. When it comes to, and I like an indie film. You know, I'll sit there. I like a dialogue-heavy film, you know. And if I'm watching that and I know it's a dialogue-heavy film and it's an indie film, I'll enjoy it.
What if there's one explosion in this dialogue-heavy indie film? Are you then offset now? You're like, well, now I want more of them explosions and I don't want none of that talking.
Well, first of all, I'd never talk like that.
Oh, what? That's how I assume you talk at home.
Never.
This is all an accent for the camera.
Because when I'm off camera, I'm like, well, I like my explosions. No, I don't talk like that.
Oh, wow. I got it so wrong.
You horribly got it wrong.
I thought I knew so much more.
I understand the point that you're trying to get to, you know, but I subscribe or ascribe to the English way of filmmaking. Let me explain that.
English-British?
British.
Oh.
Because when they say, like Doctor Who, okay, when they say, we're going to do a science fiction show, yeah, they do have dialogue, but all the dialogue pushes the plot forward. It's just, I hate it when people stop and just talk for no reason, exposition for no reason. And that just bores the hell out of me, you know? So
it's kind of like our show.
Well, our entire show, because our budget is $2. We are relying, especially, you want to know what our special effects are? Jason and I.
CG.
Where he's, look, I passed right through. See, look, he's not even real. He's like Tupac. He's a hologram.
Oh.
He's always hanging out.
All eyes on me.
Oh, boy.
Get it?
I get it because
anybody?
It's a pun.
Anyone?
But that's to the point that you're trying to say. You know, if it's done right and there's an explosion in an indie film and where they're talking, then okay, I'll go with it.
Yeah.
You know. My favorite indie film is Mystery Train that not many people know about. It's just, it's three stories happening at the same time, but you see them one after another. But each film, each segment of the film has a reference to what's going on in the second story. So I love, like, when, you know, indie films, when even Quentin Tarantino, he always got, hate mail because there's so much dialogue in a Quentin Tarantino film.
That's good, though.
But it's phenomenal, you know.
It's good, though.
You know,
it's good.
So he understands what to do. It's like, good. And there's violence. There's a lot of violence in Quentin Tarantino films, but still, you know, who cares? Because his dialogue mesmerizes you, keeps you on the beat and stuff like that.
On the beat.
So, yeah, that's your answer.
Yeah.
Right there, Mr. Sir.
There we go. 10 minutes ago. That was my answer.
that was your answer. Not much else to talk about here when it comes to Justice League. So they are in talks with to do reshoots. Yeah. And let's see here. The reshoots were minor and weren't meant to introduce new characters and explore major events in the beginning. But now things are happening. I think when Joss steps in,
who knows?
He was like, okay, look, I'm Joss Whedon. Things are going to happen.
We're going to put Captain America and Black Widow in there. That'd be cool.
Flip it around. Just,
why not? The after credit teaser.
Our next story, which is right here. We're both big fans of Suicide Squad. Okay. And Suicide Squad. Austin's a big fan of
Suicide Squad. I like Will Smith in Suicide Squad. That's what I liked.
I liked him too. But
yeah,
he needs to have his
good.
Own character. But Suicide Squad 2 is already in the mood for filming.
Yeah,
it's going to happen
very soon.
2018 is when Suicide Squad number 2. They made a lot of money. The first outing earned $745 million worldwide.
And yet critics did not like it. They were not happy on that. They weren't stoked, as the kids say.
Because they're critics.
They weren't stoked on it.
I,
the youngins say.
The youngins, the way they talk.
Yes.
I understand the critiques of Suicide Squad because it's the whole thing about Suicide, and we've mentioned this in previous shows, the whole thing about Suicide Squad is that they're down and dirty and gritty, you know, and realistic, R-rated. So I think when you want to do that type of film, you have to stick to that type of format. But they introduced the whole supernatural element to that.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of sent it veering off in a different direction. There were massive reshoots on that as well because of Harley Quinn, you know, who was supposed to be on Gotham. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but she sort of was. We're not really sure what. That's not one of the stories, but
it is if we talked about it last week.
Yeah. We said in the last show that Harley Quinn would be in Gotham. They said it all over the intertube webs.
Everything it's you read online is a lie.
Everything. Even this is a lie.
All of it.
We don't even know what the hell we're doing.
None of this is real.
So it was sort of there. But you know, the whole thing with when they find out a character, the reason it goes through the whole system is to, like, you know, see if something good is going to happen. See if we need to go in and do reshoots. See if that, you know, needs to do it. Now, let's see here. It was surprising that David Ayer dropped out to write and direct the upcoming Gotham City Sirens. He was supposed to do Suicide Squad immediately, but he wanted to do Gotham City Sirens.
Good move, David Ayer.
Especially since he had said that he'd return to make the R-rated sequel, but a different story. Warner Brothers has announced a number of projects. They've been slow to release dates for them. Suicide Squad 2 is no exception, but a rumor has it that it will be released in 2018 or 2019. The Batman-centric Gotham City Sirens and Batgirl happened to be scheduled to release for the same year.
Also done by Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon's going to be doing Batgirl. So
man, they're building like a little like fraternity over there of just like superhero ins and outs, and it's just like the same people all just like...
Well, it's a shared universe. I mean, that's been happening in comic books since time immemorial. You know, even Kevin Smith kind of created the View Askew universe, and if you watch his earlier films, maybe up at like five, you know, up to his fifth film, they were all interconnected. And since he came from a comic book world, and we are now in a, you know, open comic book store, that's why you're going to be hearing things in the background, stuff like that, in New Jersey. Are you okay? You all right? You okay about that? Does that make you nervous? You're going to break your other finger. Hey, what's up, man? Good
Hi.
Seeing you.
See? Real people.
People are here. You have to create a universe. Now, that's the big thing right now. When Hollywood sees that, you know, something is big, like first it was sequels, and then it was...
They're still doing that. They're still stuck in that rut.
That was the first. Then it was prequels.
Yeah.
And then...
Wonder Woman was a prequel.
Is it a prequel?
It is a prequel. It takes place during World War I.
But it's a prequel to what?
All of it.
What's it?
It's just Batman vs. Superman and Justice League.
It's not a standalone film?
It is.
Yeah.
But it also... is a prequel. It's both.
I'm going to disagree with you on that.
Right?
It's a pre-sequel.
It's a pre-sequel.
Okay, Austin once again has stepped in to solve the problem. It's a pre-sequel. He has created hashtag pre-sequel. It's going to happen.
It's a thing.
I don't know. I think it's a standalone film, but I think it's part of a shared universe. Yeah.
Part of a shared universe before the universe.
Before the universe?
Yeah, no.
But they're filming it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but who's on first? I don't know. Third base.
So that's what it is.
Yeah, anyway. But getting back to Suicide Squad. Let's see here. Yada, yada, yada.
Suicide Squid. That's the one I want to see.
Suicide Squid. Jumps out the water. Somebody please draw that. Somebody leave it on our Facebook page. Suicide
each
Squid.
Each arm of the squid could just be a different power. Like one arm throws boomerangs. The other one has a gun.
Stephanie Flores is a great
scoop
artist.
A gun. It'd be scary.
Scoop of a gun. It's a scoop of a gun.
Yes.
During an interview with The Hollywood Reporter, Joel Kinnaman,
who
played Rick Flagg in Suicide Squad, said that he's certain that his character will return. He added that the plan for filming is to take place in 2018. And he says, as far as I know, they're writing the script. I think the plan is to shoot it sometime in 2018. You don't believe this?
No, I don't believe any of
it. But that could change. I think I'll definitely come back for it. It would be really interesting to see these crazy characters interact with regular people as well. That was the point I was trying to make. You need a street-level, dangerous villain. Maybe he has superpowers, maybe he doesn't. But
just like one drug dealer, and they just overkill.
Yeah, he's just maybe, you know, even and on the level of Bane, you know, Bane, who was, you know, really menacing until he wasn't in the third act of Dark Knight Rises.
I'm in a film. I sound like Sean Connery if I was really tired.
That's pretty much Bane. That's my Bane impersonation.
That was exact.
What do you think?
But like from the bottom of a hole.
Pretty much.
Where he spent most
sounded like he was trapped in the, you know. Let's see here.
Yeah, crawl out of that well.
It goes here. Kinnaman could be onto something, especially in regard to the sequel's villain. Writer Adam Kozad, who wrote The Legend of Tarzan, might choose someone less overpowered than Enchantress, which is what I was saying. Maybe he'll go for someone whose skills match those of Bane. So that's what I think should happen. What do you think should happen?
I kind of agree. I feel like, especially for a first outing, it was like a little rushed because they were like, here's everybody. Also, here's like this crazy magic user and everyone else here can't use magic. Yeah. So it's like, how do you deal with that? Because that's one of the big things about DC, at least. It's like, there's a lot of magic. There's a lot of space aliens.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Woo!
See you later.
Back at you.
They're the best fans.
They're the biggest
fans. All six of them.
We have fans. They're growing. They're growing.
All seven of our fans.
I don't care. I don't
love
care.
Love them.
We're loyal to each and every one of them.
Yes. Anyway.
Go on.
So, yeah, definitely need to be more grounded, I feel like. Because if they have someone that, like, because look what Joker did for Batman in that film.
Which Joker? In Suicide Squad?
No. No.
In Batman.
No.
You don't like the Suicide Squad Batman, do you?
I could talk all day about Jared Leto's Joker, but I don't want to.
I got some time.
Because I don't like it.
He doesn't like it. I liked it. I liked his interpretation of it. It wasn't as menacing as Heath Ledger raised the bar so far beyond, like, Jack Nicholson that it's art. You know, it's art, pretty much.
I mean, he died for it.
He was supposed to be in the third one. Some of you probably already know that, but then that whole death thing happened, unfortunately, and then they had to rewrite everything. That's why Dark Knight Rises felt like, was it 3.5 hours?
Yeah.
And they had to fill in the gap somehow.
Longer.
Yeah. But
a little more.
I just think that, you know, when you approach an iconic character, you have to put your own stamp on it. Remember, everybody, you know, when Heath Ledger took it over, he was like, you can't do better than Jack Nicholson. Everyone's always going to say you can't do better. That's the challenge. You know this. You're an actor. That's the challenge of an actor. If you step into a role, your challenge,
it's
or maybe even during the part, maybe your manager or your agent is saying, all right, here's why you want to do this.
Yeah.
You know, this is the challenge, and I know you can rise above. And, you know, listen, every actor takes a chance. You're going to fail. No matter what you do, you're going to succeed, you're going to fail.
I'll step into any superhero's boots. Let's do it.
Who do you want to play?
Booster Gold.
Booster Gold.
I want to play Rocket Raccoon. Let's just redo it.
just actually in a raccoon suit.
Full raccoon suit, like the old Godzilla movies.
Yeah.
Just like that. Yeah. Crawling around on all fours like, yeah, Groot.
Cut to a long shot. It's just two puppets battling
just
each other.
Just like in a trash can, like eating garbage. I'm like, oh, Rocket!
How are you?
A little trash pan.
That actually happened. I lived in a town called Oceanside, Long Island. And
you had a gun-wielding raccoon?
I had a raccoon.
Can?
I wish he was gun-wielding. That was freaking awesome. But, like, raccoons never, ever approach, you know, the house. They wait until night. This raccoon was...
because they're sneaky burglars.
They're sneaky burglar animals. Afternoon, I open up my back porch, and there's a raccoon on top of my garbage can, just looking at me like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Come Makes on. Sense.
And someone told me that means they're rabid, because they have no freaking idea what's going on, and, you know, so I was like, hey, a
nice.
Rabid raccoon is on top of my garbage pail right
nice.
On my porch. Should I go over and say hi?
Maybe brought pet him in.
Hey, pet it.
Yeah.
You know, be a friend. You know, I lived in Nassau, because there's two counties, Nassau County and Suffolk County. Now, you grew up pretty much in the woods.
Yeah.
In Pennsylvania.
I was raised by deer.
You were raised by deer.
Yeah.
He's a graceful man.
That's why they call me the antelope.
I've never called you that.
No one has ever called me that.
First rule of improv, always deny.
No, but.
So our next story, ladies and gentlemen, Doug Liman comments on Gambit, the delays. Where the hell is the delay Gambit?
It has been delayed for, what, like 10 years?
I think so.
It was the X-Men Origins movie,
it was
right?
One of them supposed to
that
be,
that was
yeah.
The first time Gambit showed up.
Channing Tatum is supposed to play Gambit, but we don't know where the hell he is. So where the hell
he's
are you, Channing Tatum?
Probably stepping somewhere with his mics, his magic. He's miking magics, doing magic shows.
Magic Mike 3. What else can they do? I haven't seen the movies, but what happened?
Flying strippers.
Just flying strippers. Flying superhero strippers. What if they're like all superheroes?
The whole movie, they're just like skydiving.
Yeah, just naked, just flapping in the breeze.
That'd be interesting.
When X-Men Days of Future Past was released, they announced that Gambit would also be released, Channing Tatum. After various delays, it became clear that the movie's October 7th, 2016 release date wasn't going to happen. So director Doug Liman remained as director and was working on some tweaks. So delays are piling up. There are rumors that the film will be ready by 2018. Everything's happening in 2018. But there's no official confirmation. So Liman spoke to IGN.com. He says, you know, it's a crowded field of superhero films, so the challenge for Gambit or any other of these movies is finding the unique space and its unique take. He thinks Simon Kinberg, who is producing it, is a great producer, and he'll create something great out of it. So they're really just... So basically what he's saying is, I want to make this film, but there's too much going on right now, and I want it to stand out in the crowd.
I think that they're going to just keep pushing it back, because they do not know what to do with Gambit. Mm. Which is really interesting, because especially with a name like Channing Tatum attached onto the film since like 10 years ago when they first announced it, you think they wouldn't have had a hard time trying to push it through.
Yeah.
Which worries me about all the scripts they've been seeing for it. Because it's like, if you have director after director dropping out, then there's definitely something going on behind the scenes. So it's like, yeah, you can blame like oversaturation, but that's not going to stop people from keep making superhero movies. You know what I mean?
Well, the problem with Gambit is that it's sort of a minor, you know, superhero. Not a lot of people know about Gambit. I think Gambit would be great maybe in the next phase. You know, I mean, it's all going to happen after Infinity War anyway.
Gambit would... I think Gambit would thrive in an environment like one of the Netflix Marvel shows.
Okay.
Because I think he's just perfectly suited for that kind of universe.
Yeah.
Because they've got that kind of dark, gritty, but it's more of like, let's bring the character out more. Because obviously it did a lot for Daredevil.
Yeah.
I feel like ever since that series came out, Daredevil kind of like was a thing again. Because after what Ben Affleck did, people were kind of sour on Daredevil. They're like, we don't want to see a movie.
Yeah.
So Marvel's like, what if we do this? Because there's got a lot of good stories.
Right.
Same with Gambit. It's just one of those like, how do we tell it? You know?
Well, it feels like Gambit needs to have a lot of co-stars.
Yeah. A good supporting cast.
You know? Otherwise, who cares?
The only problem is just like executives. Because what? He is technically an X-Men. So he's probably owned by Fox, which means we'll probably never see him on Netflix.
Either Sony or Fox, one of the two.
The guy with the cards?
Yeah.
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 Perfect example,
guy with the cards.
His power is that he can put kinetic energy into objects.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he's like a gambler, so he likes cards. He's got cards. But he can like chew gum and then spit the gum out at like super, like a bullet, you know, because he can put kinetic energy into objects. That's why he uses the pole. He like stacks, hits people with his pole because he can put it through his pole.
Yes, it's kinetic energy. He turns anything into kinetic energy, but
yeah, it's a cool power.
It's a cool power.
It's definitely small scale.
Yeah,
I feel like,
you know, it needs something. I mean, unless we like, you know, Ant-Man survived because it had a lot of like, you know, really great names attached to it. But then it, you know,
small scale.
So it worked out pretty nicely, and it kind of came out of nowhere. So I think he's right in the fact that this is like one of those movies that kind of like have to do word of mouth and have to come out of nowhere. Say, oh, cool, Gambit. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then like all the people in the know can tell the people that don't know and then take them to the movie and yada, yada, yada.
I think what they want from it is kind of like a Deadpool scenario where like it's kind of like a thing people have been talking about for a long time. And then all of a sudden it's here. And people are like, whoa, that was better than I thought because I didn't know anything going into it.
Does it have to be R-rated to make it stand out?
Probably not just for a Gambit, but I feel like it definitely could be if they want to take it that route. It's not like it's going to hurt the movie. If anything, it lets them have more creative freedom.
Right.
Should be
R-rated, yeah.
Wolverine.
Like, why not? You know?
Well, the problem is, you know, the problem that's going to happen when people go to see Ryan Reynolds in Deadpool. That happened when I went to go see Ryan Reynolds, and I mentioned in the previous show, there were two girls behind me who were like, oh my God, the only reason I'm here is because Ryan Reynolds is so hot. And that's why I'm here.
That's why I went.
And then they left halfway through because Ryan Reynolds was a crispy burnt person for the rest of the film.
Oh, he got hotter. Literally.
Big fan of the crispy burnt people. And if people from, if Magic Mike fans are going to go see Gambit, they're going to be sorely disappointed. So you can't, you really can't go see it just because, you know, I mean, if you want to, if you're into that, if you want to experience him in some other way, I mean, Channing Tatum is a multi-talented performer and he's really amazing at what he does. So hopefully he can draw more people in.
He can do it.
And he's beautiful too.
Yeah.
They're saying he's beautiful. Very good.
It's fine.
He's a really good actor.
Yeah, back there. See? Very, very good actor.
That's our judge.
Our next story, Sony, they have a female Spider-Verse. Yeah. Basically, all of the female villains that are part of the Spider-Man universe that originated in the Sony universe as opposed to the Marvel MCU.
Because they're building their own Spider-Verse.
They probably made sort of the deal. It's like, listen, all right, you can take him. But we're going to build an entirely different universe over here now, using all the minor characters, but kind of like make them better.
Yeah.
Venom, of course, isn't really a female. Could be, because it's really a symbiote super suit, so they can go whatever they want to. Tom Hardy is going to be playing Eddie Brock, speaking of him. But there's a film called Silver and Black coming out, featuring Silver Sable and Black Cat. They're going to be doing that. Let's see here. Silver Sable will assemble an all-female team, including Jessica Drew,
AKA
playing Spider-Woman,
mm-hmm.
Sarah Errett playing Jackpot, Casey St. Commons playing Dusk, and Silver and Black, Silver Sable and Black Cat. So it's almost like Gotham City Sirens.
Yeah.
But not.
But like a Spider-Verse version of that.
Yeah, there's a Spider-Man, you know, is his own little cottage industry, so he has his own rogues gallery.
Spider-Man, you know. I thought that's one of the things I think why Spider-Man has resonated with people for so long is that he does have a good rogues gallery.
He does.
It's kind of the same reason why Batman is keeps going. It's like his villains are always very strong. It helps Batman. No, it's a give and take thing. So if you got the good villains, you care about the hero more and vice versa.
Right.
So it's like Spider-Man's always had that.
That's the problem a lot of the early superhero films made, the mistakes they made, was that they did not create viable villains, you know, or they didn't use villains that actually existed.
Yeah, or they weren't like real. I don't know. That's one of the things I always have a problem with. It's like whenever I see a villain, like if a movie can make you feel sympathetic towards a villain, then you know they're doing a good job.
Yeah,
because that's the hardest thing to do.
Yeah,
it's because they're not a good person, and if you can feel for them, then you know that that's good writing, that's good acting.
Yeah.
I
read one of this great quote that everybody is a hero of their own story.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can create a villain that thinks that what he or she is doing is just right and just, but then there's a moment that happens during the fight where they either realize they were wrong the entire time or just through sheer force of will, the hero defeats them, then you know that it's a worthy story.
Yeah.
You know, everybody thinks that superhero films are just black and white. But they're not. They're multi-layered.
They're silver and black.
They're silver and black. So you have to create a multi-layered story, because I think what's happening now finally is that because all the directors and producers are coming of age right now and understanding what real superheroes were. Because in the past we had to deal with old school Hollywood, who thought they knew what superheroes were. They thought they were campy and stupid and weird. And we, as fans, we'd go to these movies and hope that they would just get it, you know. And I think the very first Batman was a step in the right direction. It was still kind of campy.
The Tim Burton ones.
I
love them, though. They're so good.
They're amazing. You know, I remember it was 1989, I think it was, and all you saw was the Batman logo in Times Square, and you're thinking, holy crap, it's going to happen. You know, whereas before, the only Batman was the campy version. Until
Adam West one.
And then we all grew up. And we all grew up and said, you know, in a weird way, even though there are superheroes, you know, we need to escape, but at the same time, we want a good story, a good, you know, Joseph Campbell hero's journey story.
People care about plots?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. As much as I talk about things exploding all the time, I do care about a good plot. You know, I'm not going to sit there and, you know, I mean, I'll go to a monster truck show, I'm not going to lie to you, but then I'll go see Shakespeare in the Park, so whatever.
Yeah. With monster trucks.
With monster trucks. That would be awesome. I so want to see that. To be or not to jump over this gigantic wall. I am so down for that.
Yeah.
All right.
Someone would die. Oh, yeah, for sure.
So not much else to report here. Stunner might also join the team. So, yeah. Jason had mentioned that one of the critiques of our show is that I look down too much and I read the stories. But I figured since we keep this two shot, when I start looking down, if you're watching the video version, look at Jason.
Look at me.
Jason does funny bits while I'm reading. He does little mugs. He goes quacky. He's a little quacky boy. So he's fun. If you're listening to the audio version, picture it in your mind. I do have to fix the shading sometimes because I'm very dark and he's very light. So
I'm a ghost.
Jason's glowing.
You can actually see right through him.
A CG ghost.
It's 12:00
How many things have I been over there? I thought I was a robot for a long time.
Yeah.
I still think I do.
Yeah,
it's not proof.
He might actually be a robot.
This is a glitch.
The hand is a robot hand. Yeah.
I thought it was a robot. I'm pretty sure I'm CG. It might be a ghost. I'm half sure I'm a ghost.
What a twist.
I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe the entire time you were dead and I was talking to you. And whenever you see the video, you just see me talking and there's nobody sitting there.
Wow.
And I just like insert him in after the show.
Just a figment of your imagination.
Yes.
That's a great figment.
That'd
this isn't
cool twist.
Actually. This is. I'm actually in my bedroom right now, talking to myself.
You're not a time warp comics.
I keep saying that so I can believe it.
Yes. The mind.
I just
speaking of comics. We have one more comic book hero, anti-hero. Would you call him anti-hero?
You want to do this one?
No.
Okay, I'll do it.
Never.
Hellboy, ladies and gentlemen. Hellboy is being rebooted.
He has a big arm, yeah.
Let's see. He has the right hand of doom. He has to fit that big, angry hand.
It's a key.
Earlier last month, it was announced that David Harbour, the big guy from Stranger Things, will star in the upcoming Hellboy reboot. You know what it's entitled?
Hit him with it.
Rise of the Blood Queen.
It's a cool subtitle.
I actually kind of like
that. I'm interested.
I kind of like that. Furthermore, it was also announced that the reboot will be, ladies and gentlemen, it will be R-rated. Yes. It's going to be directed by Neil Marshall.
Very cool director.
He is a Game of Thrones director, Dog Soldiers, and The Descent.
So awesome.
He understands the subject matter.
Everybody go watch Dog Soldiers and watch The Descent.
I haven't seen Dog Soldiers. Is it worth it?
Oh, it's amazing.
Is it about wolves fighting?
It's about werewolves.
Werewolves fighting.
Great. It's like, okay, so you know how like in TV they do bottle episodes where all the characters are just stuck in one location.
That's called a bottle episode.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Gotcha.
So it's like a bottle film, but about werewolves, and it's the best.
So they're all stuck in one location. They're werewolves.
Ah, it's so good.
And they're soldiers.
Yes.
So is the moon out like the whole film?
The moon's out the entire film.
Kinda.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. A little bit.
During an interview with Yahoo Movies, David Harbour said that the new film will approach the character from a new perspective. And one that sticks very close to the comics. So it says here, Hellboy is very rich. He is? No, I think he's a rich character.
Deep in mythos.
I think the films did a certain thing. The comics do a certain thing.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Hellboy is kind of a neurotic, messed up individual who's destined for a horrible fate. Sounds like everybody I know.
Yeah.
He's destined to become the beast of the apocalypse. Imagine that's what you have to look forward to.
I mean, if you like it.
That doesn't sound that bad.
You take a career quiz.
At least you have a job placement, you know? It's hard to get a job.
Beast of the Apocalypse. If they have dental, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm taking
it. What's the healthcare options for Beast of Apocalypse?
can we look that up? I think it's funny, and I think it's sweet, and I think it's weird, and hopefully I can bring all that to it as well. I'm happy that David Harbour is actually getting it.
I think he will. I think he's going to do well in the role. And I think the creator of Hellboy, Mike Mignola, he's producing, I believe.
He's one of the producers.
We talked about it previously in one of our episodes, episode 3012.
3012, because we are celebrating our 10-year anniversary. So, salute to us.
Ew.
10 dog years, really. It's in dog years.
Yes, 10 dog years minus 10 years.
But what about Ron Perlman, you may ask?
What about him?
What about Ron Perlman?
He's
Ron Perlman.
Dead, right? That's why
he's not dead.
They didn't do the third one because he died.
I have
right?
a funny Ron Perlman story I'll tell after this, but Ron Perlman was. What?
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 I'm leaving. Ron Perlman is supposed to be Hellboy, damn it. What's up with that? He was in the Golden Army, you know, then no longer.
Nobody liked it. I liked it.
Patton Oswalt decided to put these two guys together in a room. And say, we need to sit and talk about this. We need to figure out if everything is okay. I want to make sure that everything's... I don't want to make Ron Perlman angry because he has like a motorcycle gang and he'll kill you.
David Harbour, he did ask Ron Perlman if it was cool to take up the mantle of Hellboy. And
right.
Ron Perlman gave him his blessing.
Well, what it says right here, he actually tweeted about the meeting. Ron Perlman said this: "Not since Bill Clinton, Menachem Begin, and Anwar Sadat has there been such an epic summit, yielding such a little result."
Yeah.
Apparently, Patton Oswalt thought it was a good idea to host David Harbour and yours truly, meaning Ron Perlman, for a detente dinner. The result? I gained 3 pounds and ruined my liver. Meanwhile, good luck, kid.
Yeah.
Signed,
it's
the Babe.
Fine.
He calls himself the Babe. So, Hellboy.
Because like, he eats a lot of candy bars.
I guess he must love candy, or he loves baseball. Hellboy, Rise of the Blood Queen. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, 2018.
Everything.
Everything's happening in 2018. I really sincerely hope that they do. I mean, they did write by Hellboy the first two movies. The second movie kind of like jumped the proverbial shark, but who cares?
I still liked it.
I was like getting more and more into it. But I think whenever someone steps into something, whenever a reboot happens, they always say we're going back to the source material.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the first one, they stay away from the source material for some reason, but maybe good business dictates that they know they're going to reboot this eventually, and they could pull the source material card and say that's what's going to happen. What do you like about Hellboy?
All of it.
Yeah. You like horror, so that much.
All of the above.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very large horror fan.
His hand.
His hand.
His
got
hand.
A hand.
He's got a big hand.
That's the only thing I know about.
It's a demon. I'm all for demon anything, really.
Yeah.
He's a nice crimson color.
He basically, you know, the whole thing about Hellboy is that, you know, he does have a great supporting cast. He does understand that it's horror, you know, it's horror adventure, which we have both agreed is the next big wave.
He's getting a horror director to do it,
yeah,
which is also very cool. I love the push of horror directors for superhero movies that we've seen recently. We talked about it last week,
yeah,
with, you know, you've got like James Wan doing Aquaman.
Aquaman.
He's known primarily for horror, and others we talked about that I can't remember. But like, it's just cool because like,
yeah,
when you think of like horror, it's like that who has they have the most exposure to like what you would say like making creatures feel real,
right?
You know,
right.
It's like, what do you want to do in a superhero movie? You want to make it all seem kind of real,
right?
So they can suspend their disbelief and enjoy it,
right?
So it's like coming from a horror director, it's like, yeah, you can totally do that
because
you know how that works for the other person's brain.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Makes sense.
Historically, you know, horror movies have always made money. You know, they say if you're making an indie film, make a horror movie first, because that's where everybody wants to see a horror movie.
Everybody wants to be a spooked.
A spook.
Spooky.
You know, even the guys who made Army of Darkness and Evil Dead, you know, they made Evil Dead first, Evil Dead 2, which is a reboot of its own movie, and then Army of Darkness, and then Ash versus Evil Dead. You know, they were told early on, listen, if you're going to spend some money, you know, make it, because people will take their dates to a horror movie, and they want to hold on to each other, and they love to be shocked, and then you have to have a little humor injected, you know, into it to make them laugh after the big scare. You know,
get a
so.
Spook, and then I go,
Sharknado. Sharknado, you know.
It's five of them. It's like five or six.
They're making another
yeah.
one, I think. They're making Definitely a sixth good. One, yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's just now when horror adventure comes along, adventure in a way always has its built-in comedy to it as well. So it's going to be interesting, this, like, especially with Dark Universe, with all the Universal monster movies that are coming out.
Real quick thing about
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Did you hear they're adding Hunchback of Notre Dame to the
I
Dark
read
Universe?
Something briefly about
and,
it. I know that they're also looking at Dwayne Johnson as the Wolfman. Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
I'd
yeah.
watch that.
You know,
that'd be crazy.
Because
he would be smaller as the Wolfman, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, The Rock doesn't really have a job doing anything.
I think he's the boulder now.
He made three movies.
He's the boulder.
The boulder. He's
so
made
big.
Three movies as we were talking about him. So,
that's probably true, honestly. It's unfortunately.
I appreciate his work ethic. I like that he just goes after it and gets it done. So,
he's a powerhouse.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. So, yeah. So, that's the show. So, thank you so much for hanging out with us. We're here on a fairly regular basis. This is the live raw feed version.
of Super Action Smash!
Then we kind of reboot the whole deal, and you can watch it as many times as you like. We have an audio version. Go to gunnageek.com. And if you heard the beginning of the show, if you're watching the show after the fact, we have a brand new theme song that we made, which is pretty freaking awesome. We're playing it after the show as well. And if you have any comments or questions, go visit us at facebook.com/SuperActionSmash. And you can leave us a comment there and say, hey, guys, we like what you're doing. We're one of your fans, and we enjoy you. There. All right, so that's for the show, ladies and gentlemen. That guy over there.
Jason Brown.
My name is Steve Strangio. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, and we will talk to you damn soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Freeze frame.
Super Action Smash! Super Action Smash! Super Action Smash! Super Action Smash! Super Action Smash!
Super Action Smash!